Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hello.
And from an even safer distance on the bullpen phone, my pal Chris Zook.
Heidi, heidi, ho!
It is, of course, we're taping this Thursday night at the tail end of opening day. Baseball is back. And
thank goodness.
Yeah,
it's been a long off season.
It certainly has. And I mean, there's a lot of excitement. There was some fun stuff. I mean, first of all, the Jays beat the Yankees. So as I know, all of us,
Blue Jays win.
Even if none of us, you know, I mean, one of us really cares about the Jays.
162-0, boys, start the parade.
All of us don't like the Yankees. So it's a great start to the season in that respect.
It is. Now I will say this. I caught from the sixth inning on the Thursday game. So actually when this airs on Friday, the Jays have a day off and then I believe they play Saturday and Sunday. So
that's correct.
So because they kind of built in a day for weather or whatever, just in case, right?
COVID,
and we can
really
talk about,
we'll
that,
talk
and
about COVID that
too. And we can talk about that too in a second here. But I will say one, it's just great to have baseball, and I'll try and be as positive I can because opening day weekend, let's say, and it's great because I've read some stories about soak it all in this year because this might be the, you know, then we might get into Armageddon later on, but that's for another day. But yeah, I mean, of course it's opening day. I mean, you know, Colorado beats LA and you know, and the Jays beat the Yankees. And
well, that's gonna happen a lot this season, so let's not put that in the same category as Colorado beating
but
LA.
But I'm saying is that you know, I mean, okay, well let's dissect a little bit of that game one for the Jays. I mean, in the ninth inning, it's looking pretty tough for the Jays here. You know, the bases are loaded.
Yeah, like we talked about last week.
And you know what? I'll tell you the one thing. They always say it's like overreaction Monday for the NFL, right? This is a big deal, right? And so, you know, you can overreact over one game. Why not? It's opening day, right? But I will say the one thing I saw about the Jays was their bullpen. Like from actually Ryu coming out, pretty solid throughout to kind of hold it off the Yankees and give them a chance to win a game. Now, can that go over the next 6 months or so or whatever, 161 more? We'll find out. But I mean, if you're a Jays fan, that was a great win because they won. The defense was pretty good. They had strong starting pitching, but the bullpen was fantastic. Nothing but positives for game one, I thought, for the Jays.
And the hitting was great. I mean, they were really getting
after
Gerrit Cole early.
They really got after Gerrit Cole, yeah.
Yeah, they must have something obviously in the scouting report, right? Jump on them, you know, whatever, you know, look for fastball, try and hit them early in the counts, it looked like. And Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, that's their best chance because, you know, he's obviously their ace. And the Jays, you know, I thought the Jays matched up pretty well. It was, you know, what was interesting too, is it was just interesting seeing like fans in the stands. Like, I got to be honest, it's kind of startled me today.
It makes me a little bit uneasy, but yeah, I know that a lot more people in the States have the vaccine. Yeah.
But that said, right? I mean, sure. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you know, for us, it's not quite there yet and stuff. But yeah, it was good to just see, just to watch a game, right? To watch baseball. And these matter now. And these are games that are important. Game one is as important as 162, as they say, right? And yeah, great start for the Jays. And I just thought, I just liked that they're, you know, they came out and they played well, and we'll see what happens this weekend, you know, to finish up the series there. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, can they sustain that? We'll see. But it was I liked the start there, and I think if you have it in fantasy,
Teoscar Hernandez,
he's just gonna be fantastic, right? Like he could really.
I hope so.
I mean, he's been there for a couple years, right, Brian?
We got him off Houston, I want to say in 2017.
Yeah.
But he really hasn't been great outside of like last year. He's always been very streaky.
That's right.
Mike and I have owned him on a number of different fantasy teams together, and almost always it never pans out. But he's always been fairly streaky with the bat. Got him in 2017. And he last year he was electric almost the entire time. But again, that was 50-game stretch, right? But if he's figured something out, then that's huge, right? That's huge for the Jays because we know that the outfield has been a concern, right? There was always like an abundance of prospects that the Blue Jays had that were all infield, right? You know, you had Biggio, you've got Groshans, you've got Bichette, you've got
Vladdy,
you've got Martin, you've got Rowdy, all these guys. And
Gurriel.
Gurriel was originally an infield prospect, right? And the wealth of catcher prospects that you've got. Mm-hmm. And the concern was always with the outfield. And so, you know, if you can shore that up, you obviously went out and signed George Springer. And if Teoscar figures it out, then having one bad outfield spot isn't really the end of the world.
So Brian, explain this to me. Who is this, Merriweather guy? He got the save for the first game. Dulles, and then it was Romano, and then it was.
Romano's
in the extra innings.
Romano's been struggling quite a bit. So it looks like
could he be the closer, or is it that just because it was the extra innings?
No, he could get closes. Mm-hmm. He could get closes. Julian Merriweather was on the top 30 prospects list or whatever the heck, but remember when the Jays traded Josh Donaldson to the Cleveland baseball team.
Okay. He was part of that deal, wasn't he?
He was the player to be named later. Yeah.
Interesting, because what I liked is that he was definitely throwing gas, right?
He's a two-pitch guy, right? Yeah, but the thing is his two pitches his two pitches are so vastly different from each other. Right. Like he throws a 99 mile an hour fastball, but then he mixes that in with a 79 mile an hour changeup. That's a big difference. That's hard for anybody to really hit.
Am I wrong here? I didn't hear much about him. Did he kind of come out of nowhere, or is this just,
he's been on the Jays top 30 prospect list since the trade, really.
I mean, hey, it's one game, and again, you know, it could be, you know, that might be his only save all year, right? But I mean, he looked good.
So.
What I saw, like, I mean,
I don't
he
think
was
so.
Hitting 99 there on the gun there.
I think he'll be. I don't think he's going to be the closer, but I definitely think that if Romano continues
save opportunities,
if Romano continues to struggle, then I think he's going to get the opportunities.
I will say the other thing, I didn't know this again because they were still, I guess, up to the last minute about the DH or the extended playoffs and none of that happened. But the one rule change from last year that they still kept in for this year was in the extra innings.
Which is the one I hate runner, the most.
The runner stays at second. And I'm like, again, no notice about this. We just decided that's the one we're going to keep from 2020.
Interestingly, not in Rob Manfred's letter to the fans today. I don't know if either of you got that in your inbox.
No, I did.
Mention anything about that.
Commissioner.
Oh, what did the commission have to say? You know, everyone play ball and
I mean, he did finish with play ball, which I mean, he stole from you. So
well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, obviously. He owes you. That's copyright.
That. I should have trademarked that.
That's copyright infringement.
But no, I mean, they did talk about, trumpeting the fact that there's, fantastic young stars to watch and happy to have some fans back in all of the stadiums. But also, I mean, to their credit, talking about 11 of the stadiums were vaccine super sites.
Well, that's good.
And so talking about some of their, impact on COVID in the States. And I mean, for all the issues that we had with them last season and deciding to go ahead and how they did some of the things, and, especially when you contrasted that with the NBA bubble, the fact that they did open these stadiums to service as super sites in the early days of the vaccine rollout in the States. I mean, there is a reason that the States, their inoculation rates are way ahead of ours.
Well, they developed the vaccine there though, right?
Well,
the reason why, one of the big reasons why we've been having such a hard time getting the vaccine up here is because we didn't really secure enough dosages, whereas the States...
Well, we've had dosages that went to waste, to be quite honest. I mean, I don't want to get into this on a baseball talk show.
That might
but
be a bad rabbit
50,000 50,000 doses expired without being used.
That's not great.
No.
But I mean, they are manufacturing the vaccine down south.
Brian's right about that. The one thing is, I mean, that it's good that the stadiums were there to help, facilitate a mass.
I'm not going
to
sit here and protect some of our premiers, but
please don't do that. But I will say the one thing, I guess it's just weird that they really didn't say much about the DH or the extended playoffs, which was left hanging literally to the last moment. And then they were keeping the extra innings, and I believe they're keeping, if it ever goes to double headers, they're going to be 7 inning games. Is that
see that I like though, because
that one I'm with.
We've been doing that we've been doing that with the Goldeyes for a very long time, right? That it's always been 7 inning double headers, I think, with the Fish. And as someone who has worked some of those double headers, let me tell you, those 7 inning double headers are great. So I'm okay with that. If 5 innings in a rainstorm can count as a full game of baseball, sure. I don't see why 7 innings can't count as a full game of baseball.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But don't you think this is a bit gimmicky?
The
guy on second.
It's incredibly gimmicky, not just a bit. I think it's super gimmicky.
Because the weird thing about it is, so the Jays score, right? They get Grishik gets a hit, a double, and then scores a run pretty easy, right? And then the announcers say, well, they got to tack on a couple more. And I'm like, well, why is that? And then it's, oh yeah, because the Yankees then the next,
reason why I don't like it. And obviously it's a very rare case. Like it's an incredibly rare scenario of it actually happening. But a pitcher could pitch a perfect game and then lose by giving up a run, despite still not allowing an actual base runner. Right. Could pitch a perfect game, 27 outs, all the way through the 9 innings, extra innings come, right? Guy on second base, sacrifice bunt, sacrifice fly, game over. Having not ever given up a base runner.
Yeah.
And that to me is ridiculous.
I will say it's a bit of a sore spot for me too. I always like to put in my expo thing is that Pedro Martinez, yes, had a 9-inning no-hitter that somehow deemed by the major league gods that somehow that's not a no-hitter because he didn't complete the game or whatever, which is you know,
for ridiculous. I agree.
And I will say this, I'll give my one more expo thing. I don't know if anyone saw, but Tom Brady had a tweet today about that he's buying the Expos, and my brother sent it to me, and I knew right away it was an April Fool's joke, and I was like,
I felt so bad for all the Expos fans.
And I was like, don't do that. I don't like Tom Brady to begin with. I mean, it's just more because he's just his greatness. But please, Tom, don't yank us around like that. I don't need that more than anything else. I mean,
so Zook, you don't like Tom Brady. How much do you not like Tom Brady? Like, quantify. Like, is he one of your five most hated sports athletes?
Wow. I was supposed to be very positive.
Top 10? Hang on. I've got an angle with this. Hang on.
I gotta say it's probably top three, easy.
Okay.
Easy. For current, for sure. Oh yeah. Just because, I mean, no different. I mean, I'm gonna age myself a bit, but back in the day when Gretzky was around, didn't like him, right? Because he was killing the Jets all the time. Jets 1.0. I know you're setting me up here, but
if Tom Brady actually bought an MLB expansion team and made them the Expos,
love them.
Okay, all right.
I'm gonna tell you right now, the line. I know where you're going with that. I will tell you right now. I will forever be indebted if him or anyone brings. Like I said, I'm not joking. If they ever came back in my lifetime, I would try and buy season tickets, even if I was nowhere near Montreal, just for the hell of it, just to have season.
Well, tickets. I think with the way the secondary ticket market works nowadays, right, is that you can break even most of the time.
Oh, that's right.
On your tickets, right?
Sure.
So, that's my thought process, right? Like, if you love the team and you want to make sure that you have a ticket every single time you go into town, then like you get season tickets, you sell the tickets on the secondary market. And then if you're in town, you've got tickets.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was talking to my brother a while ago, and I'm a Jets season ticket holder. And I was like, the Jets haven't played for a couple of years, and then I got to go back, and I don't even know if I want them anymore and stuff. And then he said, well, what are you talking about? I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, you had Viking season tickets. And I was like, oh yeah, I had Viking season tickets for 2 years during the Favre years. And I, you know how far Minneapolis is from here, right? Like I drove, like I split with someone. So it wasn't like I had all the games, but you know, that was the same thing. Sold the tickets when I couldn't go or whatever. So yeah, I mean, totally. Yes. Where you're going with that, Brian? Yes. I would in a second, if it was real, yes, that would be a happy day, but it won't happen anytime soon. Unfortunately.
I think unlikely. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Hey, Michael, talk about I'm always curious about this. Are we going to talk about Miggy in Detroit by any chance?
The fact that he hit the first home run of the season and he did it in the snow? Yeah.
Okay, two things about this. Explain to people what happened a bit if they haven't seen the highlights yet.
Well, so this was one of the earliest games. So Detroit and Cleveland were basically around the same time as the Yankee Jays game.
Started 5 minutes later. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had the Jays Yankee game on in the background while I was doing some work. So I didn't see it, but then I heard about it and watched the highlights. So Miggy is chasing the 500 homer club mark. And you know, this is a good lead off
and 3,000 hits,
and that's right, and also 3,000 hits. He
can do it both this year. He'd be the first one to ever do it in the same year. Those two miles.
Is he? I mean, okay, so the home runs, he's 13 away, but 3,000. He's not hitting 3,000 hits. He's not getting the 3,000 hits.
It's 100 and something. It's 123, 133, something like that.
No. He's at 2,800. He's 2,866 hits.
So 134.
Yeah, he can do that. 100%, he can do that.
I don't know. I mean, he had 139 hits in 2019.
Brian, you want to do double or nothing on the bet here?
Oh, you mean the bet where I get to throw water at you right now because bet?
That's right. So we're going to double this up, right? I'm going to say Miggy gets 500 and 3,000 this year.
Okay. All right.
This is our water bet for this year?
There you go. Yeah. And the water bet goes, you can do it twice or not
at all.
So, okay, yeah. So he hits this. So, it was full on snowing.
It was a blizzard
during this game. And they were talking to pitcher Shane Bieber after the game. This was Jason Beck writing for MLB.com, saying that, you know, outfielders would come back in saying they couldn't see a thing. And, you know, he said tracking fly balls early on, he's quoted as saying it was a little fuzzy, man, to be honest. So when he hit it out, it wasn't immediately clear with the snow whether it had made it out of the park and into the right field seats. I've played slow
pitch in the snow before. It's tough. That's tough to see.
And so then he, Cabrera, so he raised his hand at first base thinking the ball might have gone out. So then when he didn't get a signal, he slid into the bag thinking he would have had a double, and he was looking for the call and then trotted in after getting assurance from second base ump Will Little that it was a home run.
It's a great scene. I will say, because he flies pretty hard too in the second,
yeah,
right?
Really hard.
He's chugging a bit, right? Because he thinks, you know, the ball's coming back in.
I might have to beat a throw or
who? A lot of funny stuff happened today.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So yeah, do we want to talk about the Cody Bellinger one?
I want to talk about the Cody Bellinger Justin Turner.
Yeah. Hold out. Can just give me 1 second on this. Here's what I don't understand. We have ballparks that are in the South and we have dome
stadiums. Zook, we've been talking about this for years, dude. What? We've been talking about this for years.
I still don't.
Because they don't know how to do this. They don't understand. The thought process is they always kind of want a rivalry.
But is Detroit like a sentimental thing or traditional thing? Because I don't know.
No, well, they always want a rivalry though, right? Like that's the idea, right? They always want to kick off opening day with some sort of rivalry, right? Like interdivisional games as much as possible. So
or like geographic, like so like the Twins Brewers is like a Wisconsin Minnesota thing,
right? Yeah, or you know, a Subway Series, right? Like get a Dodgers Angels or Mets Yankees thing going on, right? So that then leaves a whole bunch of northern teams facing a whole bunch of other northern teams. It's ridiculous. It's silly, it's stupid. And we've talked about how much we hate it for years.
I'm gonna keep talking about every opening day. All right, of course,
because there's always gonna be something happens.
I will say this, the visual was pretty stunning and it was kind of cool for a second. Then you just go, well, this is insane, right? Because people paid money for it. But somewhere it did, and then all of a sudden, like somewhere in the middle of the game, like it broke, and then it was like, looked like it was a normal day, right? So it was kind of weird. But anyways, it just, every year it just kind of, it makes no sense because people are paying a lot of money. These are games that actually count on the standings. And, you know, a guy can't see a pop-up fly because it's snowing. Like, it's just crazy. But anyways, I mean, why would this change with MLB? All right, let's talk about Bellinger.
Oh, man, super funny.
So do you want to, I'll let you take this one then.
Yeah, okay. So Justin Turner's on first base and Cody Bellinger is up against, I can't remember who the pitcher was, but again, they're against Colorado. And
I think it was
pitcher
Herman.
E.
And
Colorado's throwing over.
Herman
right
Marquez.
Yeah, and so he whacks this fly ball into opposite field. It's in the left field. And the Rockies player goes up to, I think it's Ramiel Tapia, goes up to catch the ball and he catches it, but then his like hand like whacks off the side of the railing and the ball goes over the edge and Turner runs thinking that it got caught. Turner runs back past Cody Bellinger to first base and Bellinger's like, no, that's over the wall, go. And Turner goes back and touches first. And so like they just mill around for like a good 6 minutes trying to figure out what the heck happened and what to do about it. And then what? They end up sending them all home or does it end up being a ground rule double?
No.
So
he was called out because he passes him, right?
But he actually gets credited for a single.
He gets an RBI single because then Turner scores.
Because it's a
Bellinger
home run.
Is out because he passes the lead runner. Yeah.
So funny.
It just, but it's so.
I've never seen it. I haven't been watching baseball as long as you guys, but
that's almost like a little league play, right? Yeah. Like that just seems like that. Just how does that happen?
I've never seen it in the major leagues,
but in the opening day, right? I guess these things, you know, you lose your mind or whatever, and I don't know, things are going too fast. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, as a Dodger fan, not me, but you know, if you were there, it didn't matter. They lost 8-5 that game, so I mean, it wasn't like it was that run that they needed, but Bellinger loses a home run, and it's a pretty funny opening
super
day.
Super funny. So funny. Ugh. I mean, it's exactly true with what you say, right? That like every single time you watch a baseball game, you will see something different.
Yeah, no, this is the thing. Like you will see something you haven't seen before. And I mean, Lord knows, like they spent time trying to figure out how to call this because None of them had seen this before.
It's so funny. Yeah. And like, it's really hard. The baseball rule book is thick, right?
Yeah.
So like, it's hard to know everything.
Right. Yeah. You would think they have a rule for pretty much everything, you would think. I will say this. There goes the Dodgers in the 118 there. That's out the window now. I'm sure
because they lost one game to the
Rockies. They were penciled in a win at the Rockies. They were going to pencil in that one for sure. Yeah. So now they're.
Yeah.
Now
but I'm sure they'll pick up a win against somebody else that you weren't expecting.
They're not doing 118. I'm just telling you right now. That's just, it's absurd. That
I want to see it. I want to see it happen. I'm not even a Dodger fan, and I want to see it happen just because it's
but the
cool.
interesting
it's
thing
cool
is
to see stuff like that.
No, it'd be great. I'm just saying is, but why not 117? I believe 116 is the modern day record.
Yeah,
like that's but I guess on the whatever this the computer, you know, the prediction thing. I guess they said they could get up to 118, but yeah, I mean we'll see, right? I mean it was interesting. Yeah, I mean it was just fascinating to watch that game because again it was just like sort of the Dodgers just, you know, I mean they're Kershaw. Kurt, did you hear this stat? Kershaw got two more hits in this opening day, and his stat was that they announced he's 9-for-23 in opening day games for hitting at a 391 clip.
I hadn't realized that. That's
so I guess there's a reason maybe we shouldn't have the DH because
No, just because in one day, get out. I don't know if you're being serious or not.
No, he's not.
Get out
of here. I'm not being serious. I don't know about that. I'm just saying it's just a funny stat. Like, I mean, because Kershaw actually wasn't very good pitching today, but his hitting was good.
Clayton Kershaw
also good at
batting.
Hitting today. Kansas City, I don't know if you saw, they set an opening day record, 14 runs in their 14-10 win.
Again, another stat they said, I think it was in the third or fourth inning, there was like 120 pitches already. It was a crazy start to that game. It was like 8-6 or something, like in the third. Like that game, I think, took almost like 5 hours to play.
So 6 runs on 9 hits in a 1 1/3 innings for opening day starter Brad Keller. And so then the Royals responded by jumping on Kyle Gibson for 5 runs in the bottom of the first. You know, yeah.
Baseball's fun.
Because that was their most since 1979 against Toronto. 11 runs to start the season in 79.
I will say this too, because it's also kind of the theory would be that the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, but it's all a bit of a crapshoot here right now, right? Because, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, they come out of spring training and, you know, depending on who you're playing there, yeah, that seemed like a fun game. I mean, and there's, again, fans in the stands there in Kansas City and stuff, and so good for them.
Baseball's yeah, they had
I like baseball.
What they
I'm
called
so
a
glad.
A sold out crowd, but that's based on limited capacity sellout. So
I think the only sellout is going to be in Texas, that they have 100% capacity. And they said it sold out for the first game on Monday coming up, which is crazy.
Texas, the state where the governor has declared that masks are un-American.
Won't be a sellout in the Mets Nationals game. However, they're the
postponement.
So the Nationals, I think, so they're up to three for sure confirmed positive, and apparently one other player who is likely positive. This is according to Bridge Rolly of The Athletic, quoting Mike Rizzo, the skipper of the Nats. The so like, I mean, obviously they did try to build in some flexibility around rescheduling things, but I mean, if you're missing four players, that likely means that the contact list is most of the team at that point, right? Like, this isn't something where, like, if it's like a pitcher and you're kind of maybe isolating the bullpen or something, that, like, this is going to probably impact the Nationals for,
and you know, the
10-day stretch,
right? And the crazy thing is, last year, if I'm not mistaken, Juan Soto was out first day of opening day last year with COVID, right? So Nationals got the bite again. And yeah, this will be interesting to see again, because, you know, even in the States, it's not quite over, right? There's only X amount of population that has the vaccine, and most of the teams are not supposed to be, you know, jumping the queue, right? So this is still can happen. This is still ongoing through some of the summer, and it'll be interesting to see how many games will be postponed or missed, and that they'll have to make up with the seven inning doubleheaders.
So they were supposed to face the Mets. The big news for the Mets, of course, was they signed Francisco Lindor
Frankie.
To a 10-year, $341 million deal that'll keep Lindor in town until his 38th birthday. It's the longest contract in Mets history, and it is longest
are we,
in history,
how are we
considering not counting
the
Bobby Bonilla. Yeah.
Bobby B, right?
I think it's meaning for time they're expecting him to actually play. And nearly three times as lucrative as the team's previous largest deal, which was David Wright's 8 years, $138 million. I mean, you had to know this was going to happen when they traded for him, that they were looking to do exactly what they could to keep him in town as long as they could. And so Steve Cohen fulfills one of his initial promises upon taking ownership.
Well, they couldn't. Yeah, you're not going to let him go on free agent next year if they didn't sign him, right? Because the deal was he wanted to get signed before opening day. And so that's what the leverage you use. And it's a crazy contract because, I mean, 12 years is a little bit much, but of course he's going to get as much as he wants. And I mean, wow, that's great for the Mets because they, you know, basically they have him now for the next 12 years.
Yeah, no, fantastic stuff. Looking at the clock, we are going to have to wrap up. But is there anything
else
you guys had from opening day? You want to
one last thing, Brian? Do you know what the record of the Jays are in opening day now?
In opening days, that no, sorry, I don't.
23-22. So they're
we're over 500. All right.
There you go.
So and they did it on the backs of the Yanks. That's a great.
Nothing but a positive today for the Jays and for baseball fans who doesn't cheer for the Yankees.
Exactly.
Apologies to my old man who does in fact cheer for the Yankees.
there's Yankee Nation out there. Yes.
Well, he made that choice, so you know.
That's fair enough. Hey, Brian, before we go here, what's going on with the pity party?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Soup, because yesterday was opening day. That means that today is my ever lovely yearly baseball pity party show, where every single song is baseball. Is baseball related in some way, shape, or form.
Now, you know, I'm going to give you, can I give you a suggestion for next year, because you've already put it in for this year, right? But
I haven't year, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I don't think there's enough time to do this, but somewhere in for next year, I'm thinking if you can have, I don't know if it's either in the name of the title or somewhere in the lyrics or whatever of a song, but have it like first base, second base, third base, pitcher, left field, right? Like have something of all the nine positions.
Oh, that's interesting. I have some stuff. I've got one including.
That's free of charge. You can do that.
I've got a catcher one.
That definitely requires some research to do all.
I was going to say yes.
I put extensive research into finding baseball songs in general, and trust me, it's hard and not easy, especially for indie and punk and emo stuff. So, I've come up
Give
with
me
a
one. What's going to be one that I'll hear tomorrow?
Oh, sure.
Sorry.
So there's this great folk punk band called Mischief Brew. They do this great song called City of Black Friday. It's about the misery about being a Phillies fan. I got a couple songs about Ichiro. I've got a song about Jim Tomei. I've got two songs about Mike Piazza. I got a couple songs about the Cubs. I got a song about the Twins, the A's. A nice little song about Mickey Mantle. Another song about
Joe. You know what?
Go ahead.
No, that's No, I was going to say, and another one just came in my mind, maybe not for this year, but maybe next year, see if you can find one about the Expos. That'd be nice.
I've looked. I can't find one. Sorry.
There is a song about Bill Lee, but I don't know if it dates to the period in which he was pitching for the Expos.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, it's great. It's opening day weekend.
There's games on, and we encourage you to enjoy them. And Chris, what are people going to do?
They're going to play ball!
Strike three. You're out.